Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning and welcome to the Hard Luck Show. You know what it is. Big Lux here with the Indian and old Blue Eyes.
That's right.
Yeah. What's up, Mr. Indian?
Yo, when my mic gets turned to motherfucker.
Yeah.
Elegant Barbarian is here. Big Lux, you and I were talking a little bit about recently what was been going on in Tijuana where there was all those blockades, man. Right?
Yeah. New generation, brother.
What generation?
New generation. Man. The big narco family.
So, from what I understood from a gentleman named Ed Calderon, who is kind of known for being somebody who I believe worked in quote unquote counter narcotics and with the Mexican government and with the American government, but lives in Tijuana and knows a lot about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they were asking him, like, what's going on in Tijuana? Like, is this cartel next generation Jalisco is who's
new generation?
Is it new generation?
Yeah.
Who is being reported as being the cause of this sort of thing that was going on? And he laid it out. And he was like, somebody got arrested, right? Somebody big in the organization got arrested by the Mexican government.
Yeah.
And then to send a message, Calderon said what happened was they organized, right? And he said it wasn't like sicarios or anybody doing it. They paid youngsters or people to basically steal cars and set them on fire in strategic places in Tijuana to block traffic and basically shut the city down for like an entire weekend.
Yeah.
And like nobody, you know, there was nobody was killed or anything, but he was just saying essentially that new generation was sending a message to, right, the Mexican government to say, hey, we're in control.
And we want some of our guys released.
Right. What is your understanding of... I mean, I watched Narcos. That's the extent of my knowledge necessarily. And that's a bunch of old stuff, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It is. And it comes up to somewhat contemporary times, but not to the newest. And you got to remember, now you're talking about, you know, that show is talking about things that were going on, you know, 35 years ago.
Right.
And then brings you up even to maybe 10, 15 years ago. But in all that time, you got to remember, like, a lot of these cartels had kids and nephews that have now grown. A lot of these guys have gotten locked up, gotten killed.
Right.
And there's a new generation. You know what's interesting is You know, years back, these guys kind of ran the cities, like Guadalajara and Jalisco and like some of these bigger cities. That was where they were at, and that was their territories, and that's what they ran.
Right.
And they kind of stayed away from a lot of the big tourist areas and the newer development of the Playa del Carmen's or the Tulum's and places like that that you've seen start to get very popular over the last 15 years.
Right.
They really weren't in these places. And even when you would think about big areas like Cancun, they weren't really in those places. They were more in this. And what you've seen is you've seen this new young generation.
Right.
These cartels starting to kind of embrace these areas and start to look at new avenues of their growth, their power. And, you know, some of these places like the Cancun's and stuff like that, I mean, some of these hotels and some of these places are now being controlled and ran by some of these cartels.
Well, it makes sense, though, in a certain way, because at one point,
the big nightclubs and big, you know.
It makes sense, though, because on some level you can see where, on the one hand, everybody in these various organizations, including the government, might have an understanding that, like, these places are off, you know, this is off the table because it's a tourist thing and we're not trying to create that kind of drama at that point.
Bad for business. Yeah.
But the flip side is at some point, maybe it signals a shift in the Mexican economy to the extent that the cartels are saying, well, if this is where the government feels, right, vulnerable, then we're going to show you that we can now apply pressure here.
I don't know if it was exactly Tulum, but there's an area like that that's very developed. There was big promoters came out there and started putting together huge nightclubs.
Right.
Because there was so much tourism and great, and so big DJs, big nightclubs. And then fucking everybody's at these nightclubs because these are the popping spots in Mexico, right?
Right.
And I heard there was, like, a few years ago, a giant shootout. And fucking all sorts of tourists were caught in the middle of, like, gunfire.
Yeah.
And so that sent, like, this huge message of, like, now these areas are unsafe. Like, now there's shootings and different shit and fucking going on in these places.
Right.
Where there was usually none of that was, it was unscathed. That stuff hadn't traveled to those areas. That's why those areas were desired. And I'm hearing that just in general, that the grip and the extent is growing. You know, it's really, really circumferencing a lot of areas in Mexico.
So there's the new generation cartel, and from what I've read, right, mm-hmm. it is reported, so-called, that the person who runs it, and it, I think it's in the newspapers or whatever, is somebody called El Mencho, right? And they are also saying that there's new tunnels, right? You build a house or you have a house and then the tunnels under the house and they're shipping. But lately what they're saying is that actually border crossing or human trafficking in that regard is starting to become the bigger business now. And that in some ways the drug sales aspect has switched from trying to get it into the United States because so many Americans have found California so expensive to live in, they've moved to Tijuana. And there's these huge areas where now the cartel is able to do their buys or sells or whatever it is to these American expats. They don't even have to go up to the border anymore. And they're controlled. And I watched this video with Ed Calderon, who was driving around, and he wasn't showing anything he wasn't supposed to show, but he was showing some of the old cell houses, and then he also showed the Tijuana River, right? And he said that it's almost like Mordor is on this side, and then there's this like sort of like nice area on this side, And so once you go through this area, and he said it's not like, Calderon was saying, it really isn't like you get shot at night. He said he would be more scared to be in like Chicago at night. Mm-hmm. But he definitely says there are checkpoints, and they ain't police checkpoints, and they want to know who you are, where you're going, and what's going on, so that they can at least keep some element of control over these aspects. How do you have any sense of how that affects or how that interplays with California or Southern California at all?
I haven't really heard that. That's kind of new, what you're saying.
Right, I just really, saw
that. I haven't even heard that angle on it.
And the other thing that I've seen too is that Mexico just filed a lawsuit against the United States because all the cartels, all of their weapons are made by American manufacturers.
I mean, think about that, bro.
Really?
Think about that. All the manufacturing, and somehow they're getting down there in huge quantities.
Droves.
Brand new. Box this, that. Like, come on, man. Think about that.
Think about this. In Mexico, from like what I read, right? There's only one gun manufacturer in all of Mexico. And it's one facility, and it's under lock and key. And in order for a Mexican citizen or whoever to go and purchase a gun from there, right? You got to go through like 8-9 different fucking applications, background checks, all this bullshit. It's almost impossible. But everybody's got an American-made weapon, a Colt, right? So the Mexican government filed in federal court because they're like, and most of these, I think the most of the gun manufacturers are like either in the Midwest or like in Connecticut or some shit like that.
Right.
Somehow all of those weapons, now think about how much shit we talk about Mexico delivering quote unquote drugs to the United States illicitly.
Right.
We haven't heard whatever the fuck it is. We haven't heard one word about all the illegal American arms that get down into Mexico.
I mean, who's paying attention to the books of how many are being produced and how many are being sold? Like, I mean, how many give me up trucks there are?
Dude, they have there's all these weird gun loopholes. Like you can have like a gun convention where people are just selling private sales from one person to another. And they're all happening all along Texas, Arizona, and California. So you got this giant, big fucking gun convention, fucking yokels or whatever. But who's keeping track of the guns?
Nobody. And I'm sure that half those guys, you can be like, hey, dude, I need a crate of 45s. And they can get them.
Right. Imagine how if they're not even tracking the AR-15s, right, that you can buy at a fucking Walmart, right? Imagine how many of those are getting down to Mexico and arming whomever.
I mean, I mean, think about the amount of artillery that's going down there.
Right. And think about in the weird way how that plays out. Like in a strange way, like you go, so what percentage of American gun manufacturers depend on the technically legal purchase of their guns and the illegal shipment of that shit down south?
Man, bro.
How much money is there in that? And then when that danger's created and you get like migration up to the United States, then everybody can be like, what the hell's going on? What is a free for all? Does nobody respect the law anymore?
Right.
Really think about that.
I don't think it's by mistake. I don't think it's by accident. I mean, there is a lot going on down there, and everybody's got American guns.
Right. They don't have Mexican guns.
No.
They got American guns. They don't have Russian guns. They don't have Chinese guns. They don't got Iranian guns. They got American guns, but you don't hear shit about that.
And these American guns companies are just steady making guns. They're not feeling no effects of any fucking nothing. If anything, business is getting better for them with the laws that keep on passing.
Right.
Right?
Right. Right. And then you have to think to yourself, who benefits from a super dangerous society? Who benefits from that?
And the whole fear factor is just sell more guns.
Right. The only thing that can stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun.
And isn't, and then look at these, I wonder, you know what the other tie-in I would imagine would be like, think about, how about these, do these gun companies that are making all these, what do they have to do with all the gaming, game developers and gaming companies?
Like the relationship?
Where is that at? Because there's more and more games where everybody's got crazy. You could pick out this artillery, this gun, that kind of weapon.
You learn about it.
Right. And then the kid's fucking on there from fucking 7 years old till he's 18.
Right.
Playing with all these high-powered weaponry. What's the first thing he wants to do as soon as he turns 18? Go get a real one.
Well, that's what happened to Sean. Old Blue Eyes. He played all those fucking shooter games and he bought a shotgun.
And so what's the priming going on there? What are they priming for? I mean, look at the music videos. Everybody's got fucking guns. Everybody's rapping about them. This is the, I mean, come on, dude. Who's benefiting from all this shit?
Dude, imagine, right? I mean, imagine. Do you think at some point, right, that in all of these various meetings in the Pentagon and at those levels, the higher up echelons of the military, that they have discussions about how to make better soldiers, how do we do whatever. And do you think at any time somebody said, you know what I wish we could make a simulator that would take away the horror of war, but only the stuff guys like. And I wish we could get it to all the kids so that they could start learning about war, but like from a removed safe distance without any of the realities. And so that by the time they're 17 and 18, we don't have a problem filling up the spaces in the Army.
Bro, you know they did that.
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
The Army had it was a first-person shooter. Was it called like America's Army or something like that?
I don't know.
This was maybe like, I want to say like 10 years ago. And they had a first-person shooter and it was made by the Army.
What does that mean? What does a first-person shooter mean?
So like a first-person shooter is like where you have the gun and you're like looking down the sight. You know, so it's like COD or whatever. It's like, you know, you're in control of the gun.
It means that the screen is showing you what you would see with your own eyes. You're not seeing a guy in front, and you just see, like, the weapons down below. So it looks like your perspective. That's first-person shooter.
So anyways, America's Army was a game made by the Army. Or I don't know if they made it, but they hired someone to make it.
Was the first war game?
No, I mean, you know, they were just copying what, you know, Battlefield was doing or whatever. Mm. But yeah, I mean, it was, I think it was like a recruitment tool.
Right. Obviously a recruitment tool. But in any event, right? So yeah, those things are all linked up, you know, and we have shows sometimes where we talk a little bit about how difficult it is for everybody to go outside or interact socially. I think part of it is related to creating more dangerous spaces outside. It's just getting more and more dangerous, or at least the perception is that, right? Like the perception is like it's getting more and more dangerous. Then when you go to these wealthier neighborhoods, they're sectioned off. It's a different experience. And I think, I don't know if this is intended or not, but I think I got to believe that if you're in a constant sense of embattlement or survival, you have less of a chance of self-development, self-empowerment, self-improvement,
sure,
you know, questioning things and deciding. And by the way, that goes for north and south of the border. Like, you know, sometimes, you know, I feel like, because the American government doesn't do shit right, But that I don't think all the other governments are doing anything right either.
Right. And, you know, they're real good at, like, let's think about it. Like, they're real, real good at really branding all this, you know, cartel stuff, you know, even Narcos, the film. But, like,
right.
They really, really, really want to dress these guys up with automatic guns, slaughtering people, and it's sucking. And I think on a whole, look at the condition of Mexico as a whole, bro, and their economy. And what America's played a big part in fucking raping fucking Mexico in a lot of ways and taking advantage and leaving them in a fucked up position.
Let me ask you a question. That's a good point, and I agree with it. How would you compare that to what we do in Canada? Like, why aren't we doing that in Canada? I'm not saying we're good to Canada.
No.
Really? I mean, what's your thought?
I think there's a lot of white people in Canada. You know? I think there's a lot of resources in Canada.
Right.
There's a lot of natural resources that we want out of Canada.
Less people,
white people established it early.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And I think the color of skin has a lot to do with it.
I think you're right. And you know what's interesting is I was looking at Tijuana when we were kind of going over these thoughts and the shows, and I was thinking, like, what the fuck do we really know about Tijuana historically? Like, on one level, if you go back far enough in history, there was no border near Tijuana. In fact, Tijuana is... It's disputed, but Tijuana is an Indian name from the people that lived there, the Kumaye, right? These Indians, before the Spaniards and before the Mexicans and before the Americans, were living in this area, San Diego, through down into North Baja, into Baja, California. And they have evidence that the natives in that area, right, lived there at least the presence of there like 12,000 years ago.
Wow.
Right, Tijuana. And there's a Tijuana River, and Tijuana is some sort of Kumaye word, and they're not sure, and there's like, you know, Kumaye is like the larger aspect of the people that live there, and then there's like three little branches. And they lived in clans. I think the clans are called like Shulks or Shmulks, which sounds kind of Yiddish, but it's a Kumaye word, and they're kind of clans, patrilineal, so it doesn't go through the mother, it goes through the father. Mm. And they designated like the land and the area, right? These clans would live together, so larger than the family unit, and people could, at least for what I went, so I went to the Indians' website, kumaye.com, and there's a reservation. They were also known as the Diegueño, the Diegueño Indians, which is what the priests, the missionaries would have called them, right?
Right.
And so these Indians have been there and have stayed there, and their people would go all the way over to Yuma, which is like by Arizona, mm-hmm. right? So they're that far, and they have like a West Coast culture, and they have an East Kumaye type culture,
really?
Right? Absolutely. They dammed up some of the rivers on the West Coast to make all these wetlands because it would make crops. The major food source was acorns.
Really?
Yeah. So all these California oaks have acorns. They would make flour, like you would have wheat flour. They made flour out of the acorns, all of the Indians, and they have fucking acorn cake. I don't know what it tastes like. I'm sure some fucking new age motherfucker is going to try.
Right,
to,
right.
Right. So then at some point, the Spanish come through Cabrillo, right, San Diego and all that other shit. And then at some point, Mexico gets its independence from Spain. So all these government authorities are pushing the Indians around, but they've never gone away. And now they're here and they still have a reservation. And then, like, in the 1920s, Tijuana was, like, one of the few places where you could go and gamble because it was illegal.
Right.
And it, like, took off in sort of, like, this is where everyone in California pretty much would go. And then during Prohibition, alcohol was legal. I bet you there's a million fantastic fucking stories about bootleggers and all this other kind of shit going to Tijuana, living it up and then, you know, bringing back some hooch or whatever the fuck they were doing. But it was kind of like the Atlantic City.
Really?
In its time. And they had like a racetrack and they had all this shit. And then I think Tijuana changed its policies in the 30s or 40s. And ultimately, where we're at today, from what I gathered about what Tijuana is that it's, in at least in relationship to the United States, the car manufacturers, like all the major car manufacturers have factories there in Tijuana, obviously to cut costs on labor. And then we create a dangerous situation down there for everybody. And that makes America, by comparison, seem like the land of opportunity. So a lot of people do come up. And for as much shit as people talk, some people, not all, about like, we got to stop the flood of immigrants, American business would grind to a halt if we didn't have these indentured servants who don't have papers to take a pay cut, because it's just so much worse than their original company.
Right.
And
right.
It's part of the reason why it's worse, because American
business. Maybe it's set up like that, like you're saying.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it 1,000% is, bro.
We'll make it so bad that you guys will be our slaves. You'll be cheap labor for us.
Right.
But we have to keep it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Bad down there.
I think also,
wow, man, that might be the whole setup, dude.
And I think, like, when we talk about like the DEA and what goes on down there, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to denigrate individual stories, because I do believe that, like, on both sides and all the various sides, there are true stories of individuals who believe in something or they're trying to do something.
I agree.
Whether they're criminal or not, whatever, like, right? I think, but the overall setup, right? Like, so I feel like the U.S. government and the Mexican government, maybe the U.S. government plays the cartels off the Mexican government and vice versa, so no one gets complete control, but it stays destabilized.
Yes. Yeah, bro. Man. When you look at it, it looks like that, though.
It really
feels
does.
Feels like that.
It really does.
Because you don't, it's like a cat mouse game. And they let it go so far, and then they reel it in.
Right.
So far, and then reel it in. But the whole relationship overall keeps on working the same exact way.
Yeah.
And we just stand there and watch it.
Well,
or
yeah.
Or control it, or, you know.
Yeah.
Allow it to continue to keep doing what it does.
Well, yeah. And then it has to be, because if you look at the fentanyl and the OxyContin shit, right? It's clearly blue chip American companies that know how to flood the streets with their shit somehow. And I'm learning this in other industries that I've worked as an attorney. I'm discovering that one of the games, right? If let's say you're doing fentanyl or you're doing OxyContin, right? And you kind of, if you're naive, you're like, how the fuck, I mean, why would a blue chip company, you know, why would they put illegal prescriptions out on the street? That doesn't make any sense. And that's not right. And then is I thought people are keeping track of this shit. But based on what I see, inventory is a game. It's a real fucking game. And I think it might even work in all industries, actually, this way now. I think I might have been naive, but I think I realize now that there's a certain amount of inventory and people who are in charge of counting and recording what's there who also are aware that a little to divert some of it. And as long as it's not too noticeable, everybody kind of knows that's what's going on. So long as it's not outrageous, nobody says anything. And you look in the records and it looks kind of like, and then you have this one problem in the system and nobody's ever been able to quite fix it and blah, 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 blah. Who knows? They do that even in Mexico with cigarettes. I was reading this article about the cigarette manufacturers in Mexico, and what some of them have done is so like here, tobacco's taxed, and like here, people figure out ways to get cigarettes off the books so you don't gotta pay taxes. They're cheaper and it's like free money. Sending a message. So they have a way of setting up the lot information so that you don't. So why wouldn't that be the same with the guns?
It would be. Same thing.
Right. And so long as, and I wouldn't even say this is just Mexico. I might even say that this is part of the reason why the American military-industrial complex is so big. How much of that shit gets lost? And when it gets lost and somebody uses it, how much instability does that create around the world? Egypt.
Africa.
I mean, Gaddafi, remember?
Yeah. Well, remember when they left Afghanistan.
And they left all that shit.
They left a shit, like billions of dollars worth of fucking equipment.
Right. And the way they covered it up was making it look like military incompetence and like the government was just fucked up and tried to get out of there too fast. But they wound up leaving behind a bunch of shit.
That leaves a big, big amount to allocate to it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right.
Who knows if fucking anything was left?
Well, I mean, who knows if in the negotiation with the Taliban, they were like, I'll tell you what, we'll leave a bunch of shit that's going to help you stay in power.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But in the public, we're going to make it look like we're fucked up because technically it goes against our diplomacy and all that. We're not supposed to do that. So we'll make it look like an accident. I mean, I just look at all of that and I'm like, wow, that game is that's a long game.
Yeah.
But you would have to expect that it would be.
Yeah, man. I agree with that, bro.
Right? So that's why sometimes I think, like, in terms of like, for the common man or the common woman, like, where do we go from here without getting caught up in the sort of... Because it almost seems like at that level, how are you going to operate in such a way that you're outside the system that they created? It almost sometimes feels like even if you took on a criminal activity, like, let's say, like a group of kids got together and wanted to do like a car theft ring, it might actually, in the long run, maybe support the car industry. And like, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Yes.
So if you wanted an alternative, I'm now wondering, what's the move? How do you really get out of that shit?
Think you hear what he's saying, Sean?
Can you?
Crazy.
Can I think of a way to get out of that?
Well, I mean, are you listening to and are you sensing that, like, this might be a reason why we haven't been able to, as a society, move to the next level?
Yeah.
Because it almost seems like some of the acts of rebellion are actually baked into the system to harden it or to keep it going.
You're saying the rebellion itself is perpetuating like an authority.
Right. So like you're allowed to do these things if you want. Here's the risks. Here's the payoff. But it almost justifies the existence of the system. If everybody was to just cool the fuck out, everybody just chill. I say this all the time and I don't know why it doesn't happen, but I'm like, if everybody just fucking said, you know what? I'm not going to work today. We're all not going to work. We don't give a fuck. Good luck making your Doritos, motherfucker. Right? Like, good luck getting the soda into the fucking 7-Eleven, asshole. None of us are doing shit. We don't care. We'll drink water. We'll smoke weed. And we'll just fucking wait this shit out until your rich children start screaming about shit. And then you guys make a better deal. I can't think of an alternative other than doing kind of what Nueva Generation Jalisco did, which is not necessarily violent, but saying economically violent. Like, we can shut this shit down if you want, right? We're not asking for everything. We just, it's too fucked up. It's too many crazy homeless people who don't have care on the street. I can't even walk around the goddamn city. Mm. Like, what the fuck? My teacher's wearing a bulletproof vest. Come on.
Yeah, and they, I tell you one thing, you can say what you want about some of these fucking spots. These fucking kids in their fucking schools are a lot safer than they are here.
I totally agree with that.
Fuck.
You don't have people advocating to make schools more dangerous like we do here in the United States.
Yeah.
Dude, my wife sent me this video of this kid who had like a bulletproof backpack.
Right.
And his, the mom was teaching him how to use it.
To hide behind it?
Yeah, hold it up. Behind it. It's crazy.
That's crazy, bro.
And then like...
In Wyoming.
I don't know where it was, but yeah. then she was saying something like, and what if someone comes in and, is there anyone in here? And like ask you to call out? And the kid was like, yeah, I'll call out. Or she's like, no, you don't say nothing. You just hide. That's fucking nuts.
Not only that, but like...
we're real fucked up.
We really are fucked up. Clear backpacks.
What happened? What happened to America when we're like, we have these problems? These gun problems, these like...
The gun problems weren't this bad when the weapons bans were in place. That's number one. Nobody doubts that.
When what weapons bans were in
but
place?
Also, like,
there was assault weapons bans... that were in place, I want to say, in 2000, either 2000 or 2010. And the only reason why it got in place was because of the real bad shit that had been happening. It was in place. And the only reason why these conservative fucking jerkwads allowed it was because it had a sunset provision that it would end at some point.
Yeah, but like, it's not just the guns.
Keep going.
There's something wrong with the people.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, who the fuck goes into, kids, bro?
Well, but you can't get to the people to start fixing the people while they're fucking shooting up everything. So we got to fucking get the guns first.
Well, so you know what's interesting is in reading about serial killers and people who do this kind of shit, one of the things that they look at as a signature, like if they're just looking at one, they look at the signature, which is what was the overkill? What are the circumstances around the kill? Because that will tell you what they're trying to destroy. And in by destroying it, they're trying to possess it or show domination over it. So if you're killing kids in a school, right? Now, this is like amateur shit I'm talking about. But then you obviously are trying to destroy school, children, childhood, right? Education. That's what you are threatened by. That's what's threatening you and that you have to destroy. So when you say what's wrong with the people, it is somehow related to how we've constructed childhood, how we've constructed school. Because that's the thing that people are targeting. They're not targeting.
Wow, that's interesting.
They're not targeting like Burger Kings. They're targeting schools.
Well, at one point in time, do you remember where the mass shootings were going on before they were going in schools?
Post office.
Work, big work areas.
That's right. That's right. That is right. And it's changed.
And it's also changed the age of these shooters.
That's right.
It's all come down further.
Remember that? It was like there was a period of time.
Postal. That was the fucking thing.
It was usually like, right, a Caucasian, middle-aged Caucasian who was overworked or something. Falling down. That movie. Remember that?
Yeah.
And right? All he shot was his boss. A boss and like two other guys.
A couple workers.
Right, and a couple workers.
That pissed him off.
That pissed him off. He was making some
supervisors and yeah.
Right.
Manager.
Dominating something.
Right.
But you're right.
But now it's gone past that on to the schools. Well, listen, dude, listen. Think about, let's look at the bullying problem.
Right, right.
Let's look at all the kids that are being fucking sexually abused or, you know.
I mean, that's true.
Fucking, this is, you know, coaches, and there's a lot going on in schools.
But what's crazy is, though, you don't hear about mass shootings against, like, Boy Scouts leaders. Right? Those guys... They had to settle like a billion, or even at Catholic churches. They had to settle billion-dollar fucking cases because there was so many pedophiles fucking with these kids. right? And there is pedophilia going on, for sure.
Well, we have started to see some church killings.
Right, but that killing, that's true. There was a Southern Baptist killing, but that seemed to be slightly, like, was that race motivated? It was interesting. You're right, but that was race motivated. But what I'm saying is like, for these younger people that are coming in, what about the guy that shot up Las Vegas Country Western concert?
That was crazy.
Right? That was weird. I mean, that was real weird. That guy had a whole setup. So
that was super premeditated, too. I mean, like, lots of ammunition. Like,
right. Like,
crazy.
He had to make, like, 8 trips up to his room.
A belt-fed fucking machine gun.
Right. He had a little fucking mini Gatling gun thing going on up there, and he was shooting into a Country Western concert.
That's fucking nuts.
I mean, I remember the stories that those people were telling. They were like, I heard something go by my ear. I thought it was about... And then somebody's head just exploded, and there was blood everywhere, and I had to run for cover. Well, it's like crazy.
I'm surprised that guy didn't kill more people.
Well, you got that. Parades.
Right.
A lot of parades. You got bombs going off of fucking...
Fuck.
The marathon.
Marathon.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah, what the crazy. Fuck?
There was a big old marathon. Remember when marathons were getting blown up?
Yeah. Boston Marathon.
Yeah, I think I think from a practical standpoint, I just think that we've tried everything else except getting rid of the weapons. So think about bullying. Dude, I was bullied.
I was too.
Right. A lot of people have been bullied in their lives, but they didn't have access to a gun. And when I was bullied, right, I was told by adults, like, everybody gets bullied. You just got to learn how to deal with it. Fight back. Or whatever they fucking say to you, that's just their opinion. And I remember, like, fuck.
Yeah.
Dude, sticks and stones.
Right.
Right.
A part of it was, like, you just had to fucking survive that shit. But there was no access to an AR-15. There was no access to... whatever. And maybe, too, there's a structure as to the difference. Maybe there's something about the way we think about victimization. Hmm. Like, maybe the way we look at being, and I'm not advocating for people to get hurt, but maybe the way we also look at when you're victimized by someone, how long you're supposed to nurse that wound, and then how long are you supposed to remember it? How long are you supposed to go back and get your revenge, right? Also, I think, like, part of another element, too, is I think that, like, the question also remains, like, what are you going to do if you're faced with a circumstance that you can't control? Because in my mind, what seems to be happening is that somebody gets to a level where they feel like they want to reassert control, but the only option they think that's involved for them is to shoot and kill people.
Let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
You were onto something, though, when you were talking about the bullying in the school thing. Let's go a step further.
All right.
Women's liberation.
Okay.
And the idea that was actually to tax women. It was actually to separate the family.
Yeah.
Parent.
Yeah.
So if you start looking at that and you start looking at what is school.
Yeah.
Now, if it was meant to separate the families and get control over your kids,
yeah,
let's think about what we're teaching kids. And what we're teaching kids is a bunch of bullshit when you really start looking at what we're teaching and how we're teaching.
Mm.
There's a lot of bullshit in it, too.
Sure.
And what if this is just the repercussions of just the bullshit? I mean, you talk about it all the time. This thing is set up for you to fucking be a robot.
Yeah.
They don't want you getting too smart. They want you to buy into the 9-to-5 so you can work in a cubicle.
Yeah.
What if this whole thing's just like people are just starting to really become aware of it's just bullshit, because you are starting to turn us all into robots, and there's no way. But we have to watch social media and TV about all these great lives that the 1% are living, but we'll never get to be that.
Man, I think you hit it on the head.
This is the backdraft of all that. Maybe this is flushing the shit down and packing so much shit in the toilet that it's starting to erupt. It's a big lie.
I think you're right. I think you may have really hit it on the head, too. I think that turning us into robots, let me put it to you this way. When you set up a system, and I'm not just talking, like, the whole system you just laid out.
Consumer system and all that, right?
Right. Turning you into a robot. But at the heart of the matter is that a human will never really be able to be a robot. But you've adopted robot tastes. You've adopted the expectations that I'm going to be able to repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat this performance.
Subtly.
But you're a human. So when you try to get humans en masse to think of themselves as robots and to set those kinds of expectations for themselves, you're guaranteed to have frustration.
I would think if it's unnatural, it's going to fucking, Mother Nature's going to fucking reroute it on its own if it's not natural. Look, you talked about that. Maybe all this fucking robots and all this, you know, jobs being replaced are finally going to come to a place where humans are just getting a check so they can just get back to being humans. Remember you talked about that?
Yeah, I think that.
Like thinking way forward of what could happen. Maybe that, and maybe there's like a whole like almost bullshit that everything has to go through in order to get to that.
Well, I definitely think that.
But in that process, man, like, listen, man, it's a you talk about the consumer thing. I believe that, man. They want people to think that a fucking double jumbo jack with fucking cheese and bacon is freedom. Right. That the Starbucks with extra fucking shot is like you're doing shit, you know? That you living in a fucking mobile home is fucking freedom.
Right. A van, living in a car.
Right.
Right.
So it's like all this weird shit is being set up, but it's being set up in a way where it looks a certain way.
Yeah.
So you're buying into it. I mean, maybe some people are just like innately starting to feel like, you know what? There is no way out.
I think that
these are desperate, hopeless acts.
I definitely think that's definitely right, bro. And I think that, like, I also think that we're not being taught the truth about the reality of being human. You know, the reality of being human is like you're inconsistent. There's a lot of shit that doesn't make sense. You have conflicting passions, contradictory feelings. You work hard to try to get some control over those things. But to a certain extent, right, it's never going to be perfect because humans are humans. And I was reading about, I read Robin Williams' biography, right? And, dude, when you really look at that guy's mind, on the one hand, you're like, man, this guy's real brilliant, like, all the shit, right? But in order to have that mind, he also had a really creative dark side. And some of that stuff does not fit the image that you had of him in the public persona. But it's human. It's real. The guy didn't have it all figured out. Right, and he had like three wives or whatever the fuck it was, and all this other kind of stuff. But he wasn't a bad man,
right?
So when you think about your own self or me, right? There's some inconsistencies and there's some illogical. We were just talking about like I'm practicing not snapping. In fact, I'm going to be taking up real psychoanalysis to get to the next level of not reacting so strongly, so quickly. Like, why can't I just fucking cool out? So I think when you're not equipping people at a large level to understand or accept that about themselves, you get to that level of desperation that you were talking about, which is like, we're stuck here, nothing's going to change. Fuck it.
Yeah, I think that the world has kind of moved in the direction of make a living, not make a life.
Yeah.
And the pressures of that. And we all fall victim to it.
Yeah.
But I think people are getting fed up. I think overall people are getting fed up. There's a lot more shootings. There's a lot more crazy shit. I don't know that all this was going on fucking 100 years ago.
Oh, I don't think it was.
That's what I'm saying.
It definitely wasn't. They had schools 100 years ago here, and there wasn't this shit. They had schools, and they had access to guns. I mean, there was not even metal detectors invented. They had access to guns. I mean, Tom Sawyer could have just walked right in and shot the fuck out of Huck Finn. And there wasn't going to be any fucking security guard stopping him.
Right. So there's a lot. I think there's a lot more. And it's the, and when you look at the world, and as crazy as some of these countries want to say, the people that are the most angry and fed up and crazy and nuts are in the U.S., bro.
Boy, you said it, bro.
Just look at TikTok, bro. The whole world's watching. They're like, look at these idiots, man. Look at
I know. So apparently we're having signal issues today. Some of you can hear us but not see us. Some of you getting absolutely nothing at all.
Some just have like a yellow screen or a black screen, or it's like frozen on a car commercial.
Why are we still here, Evan?
That's a good question.
Because we're broadcasting on the internet. We can still be seen live streaming, and that's why Chip told me to put my clothes back on.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.